I felt like I might bring I feel like an anchor tonight, a good anchor. Not an anchor that's holding anything down. It's just anchoring us. God wants to do something special. You know, we have been praying about these meetings for months now. I don't remember when I got a hold of Tom first, but we've been praying, and God has focused His attention on us for the purpose of these meetings to bring us to another place. You know, we like to stay in safe places. We don't like new things sometimes. You know, we like it when we've got God figured out, and you know, and but God wants to, how many know that God wants to take us to a place where we've never been before? And He just, and at this point, in this time, this is just me talking, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I think it's probably, we haven't got the results that we thought we would staying in a safe area. We've got unbelievers that are not listening. We've got nominal believers that think we're nuts. Yeah. And so we stay in the safe area hoping that somehow God will send someone or something or a happening or a tragedy or an outpouring or the heavens open up. You know, I keep seeing on Facebook where they're seeing angels around jet planes. I mean, maybe that'll change something, but it doesn't. But tonight, the power to heal is here. I want you briefly, I want to take cut into some of Tom's time, but if you'll turn to Luke chapter 5, I've only got about a half an hour of worth of stuff to do, so. Luke chapter 5. The Lord's been laying on my heart all day to my wife's surprise, because she was surprised that I was hearing from God, because we were having one of those afternoons, just being honest. And it was through God speaking to me. Luke 5, 7. Don't imagine anything. We're okay. Luke 5, 17. Now it happened on a certain day as He was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I want you to see something just briefly, and then I'll shut up and sit down. I want you to see that Jesus was there. Yeah. How many know when Jesus is there, the power is there to heal? You would think wherever He is, the power is there to heal. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says He was there, and it delineates this time apart, sets apart from any other time that Jesus was walking and talking with the disciples and talking about sowing and reaping and seeds and fire and... This time, in this place, the power was there to heal. There was a plan that God had set before time began, probably, that now, during this time, there was power there to heal. Matter of fact, it was so prevalent, Pastor Tom mentioned last night, that the people opened up the roof to get the guy down in there, to get where that power was. Yeah. And the Lord spoke to me today and said, I'm going to bring the power to heal to this place. Yes. Now, when that happens, we just gotta. We're going to a place we haven't been before. Yeah. See, when God starts to call out sicknesses, maybe things that you've lived with. Say, well, I have something wrong, but that's okay. I've lived with it this long. I'll live with it till I go. No, God wants to heal you and touch you. We always look for the major things. It's neat when the first time I ever saw blind eyes open, I was just telling Tom about that today. The first time, I just blew my mind. I saw blind eyes completely, no pupils, and pupils, God just made the pupils come. Yeah. And it's neat when major things like that happen, but it's also awesome when God just touches you. Something that you can live with, but God said, I want you to live with that. The power is there to heal.
Come on. Yeah.
So would you pray with me? Father, I thank You tonight. Give You the glory tonight, God. Lord, we just absolutely drop every other concern and activity. Lord, we've come here tonight to be in Your presence. We thank You for the man of God You sent, but it's not about him, it's not about us. It's about You and the way that You want to take us to a place, God, where truly those, the nominal and those without you, might be shaken to their core with the power and the presence of Almighty God in our lives. Lord, we thank you. Bless this time. Bless my brother as he comes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jim Howard from Church of the Heartland is right here. Stand up and say hello. Pastor Jim. Any other pastors tonight that are here with us? God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad you're here. How many visitors do we have tonight? Just so I know. Raise your hand, all the visitors. Okay. Wow. Great. Give them all a big hand tonight, will you? Sometimes visitors get nervous when you ask that. You know, they look like you're going to pull their fingernails out. All right, come on down here. We're going to pull your fingernails out. We're going to torture you now. And so we just were wondering. I'm just curious more than anything. So bless you guys. Good to see you again, Carol. Appreciate you. Bless you guys. And good to see you, Pastor. How far away is your church? Oh, okay. When he said, oh, I thought, oh, wow, he's going to say half hour, 40 minutes. Okay, about 5 minutes. So welcome. Bless you. Those of you who don't know who I am yet, my name is Tom Scarella. My wife Susie and I are evangelists out of Florida. And so we met our wonderful friends here almost 10 years ago, somewhere in that area, about 8-10 years ago. And we ministered in their church in Philadelphia and just had some wonderful, wonderful meetings. And so we're just honored to be here, and we love coming back to Indiana. Woo-hoo, come on, somebody. Revival in Indiana, right? Yeah. And we're excited about being here. How many of you were blessed last night? Anyone blessed last night? Okay. And so it'll be a little different again tonight, so I'm just kind of forewarning you. It won't be like last night. It'll be a little bit different, but it's good. I mean, it's all good, and it's good that God stretches us, you know, And that's why I encourage people, come every service or you miss. You know, I hate to tell people, oh, you missed it. But, you know, if you didn't come, you did. I mean, there's no nice way to say it. So don't miss it. Obviously, tomorrow night and Wednesday night, just the Lord really gave me a real strong directive last night. He just spoke to me about really kind of turning these next 3 nights into what I'm just going to call healing school. So if you don't have a piece of paper or something that you can write on, I promise you that God's going to stretch your faith and God's going to just really stretch you tonight. So, but I'm going to show you a couple video clips if you guys want to start to get those ready. And the first one I'm going to show you, we're okay for time, right? Nobody's in a big hurry, are you? Okay, if you're in a big hurry, we bless you. You can go whenever you have to. We understand. But I want to show you two video clips. Let me just explain them both to you very quickly. This first one is we ministered not that long ago in South Africa. And while we were there in South Africa, there was a woman that was dying a little over 1,000 miles away. She wasn't dying. The doctor said she'll be dead in 72 hours. And she was completely full of cancer. She couldn't even hold her head up. They had to have a neck brace to hold her head up. They brought her in by her son took her to the meeting. She had to sign out of the ICU. The doctor said, you'll be dead before you get to the church. You'll never make 1,000 miles. And so they get her to the church. They bring her in by wheelchair. They bring her in. Somebody had a walker that she could use to just function to get down to the front when I called her out prophetically. And then that's where it'll pick up. There's another young girl that gets healed of a broken arm or something like that as well. And then the second one is it's a video of one of our dearest friends. He's a prophet in South Africa. And just incredible miracles in his ministry. Just over 17,000 lame and crippled people rose and walk in his ministry. And just in the last 15 years. I mean, that's more than Oral Roberts had. You know, come on, somebody. I mean, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? And, yeah, amen. Now, if you do the math, it's around an average of 200 a week. That's a normal week in their church. 200 lame people leaving their canes and crutches. Okay, so that's an average week. That's not a high week. That's an average week, you know. And, it's hard for us Americans because we say, well, you know, we want revival, Lord, and the Lord starts moving in other nations and we don't look at it. It's kind of like baseball season. We talk about, you know, who was it last year that won the World Series anyway? Who won it last year? Anyone remember? San Francisco, yeah. So San Francisco, the world champions. No, they weren't the world champions. They were the American champions. We didn't play the world. We only played America. Then that way an American team could win it. Because otherwise we wouldn't have beaten Havana, Cuba. We wouldn't have beaten Dominican Republic. Come on, talk to me here, somebody. Is that true? So we just play in here and we just call ourselves the world. We say world champion. Well, we didn't play the world. We played here and we called this the world. You know, how many of you know the world's a whole lot bigger than the U.S. of A? Come on, somebody. How many of you think God is bigger than the U.S. of A? Anybody? Amen. So God's got a world vision. So watch these two clips. I think it'll really bless you. Let it stretch your faith. Let it do something to your heart. All right. Watch this. If you can, kill the lights.
An accident, and then the car rolled, and I was asleep, and then I bumped my head, and then my boyfriend's sister, she shook me, and then I woke up, and then I just felt a lot of pain in my back,
yeah,
and my neck, and the shoulder, and my this side of my hip, and it was so sore. And then we rushed to the hospital, and at least nothing was broken in that, but still sore.
You're still sore,
yeah.
Right now. Yeah. So, were your legs crushed though?
Yes, but this leg I couldn't feel, and this leg I could feel. So this leg I couldn't move at all. So it's
you're the
still...
one that I saw. Yeah. Put your hands right on your hips, right there. The Lord's going to heal you right now. Set you free right now. Set you free right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your creative miracle. Release. The Lord's already healing you before we even got here. Stand up. Stand up. The Lord's already touching you. Come. Come. What's wrong?
I've got brain scans and it's gone to my skeleton and my lungs and my liver.
Yeah. Put your hand on your chest right now. That's dissolving right now. Jesus is dissolving cancer right now. Come on, stretch your hands toward her right now. The Lord is dissolving it right now. Lord, we bless what you're doing right now. Driving this cancer out of her body. You foul spirit of death, we command you to go. We command life to come now back. Life to come back. Life to come in. Life to come in. Life to come in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You feel that hip pain right now? The Lord, the anointing is still in the air right now. The Lord wants to minister to you. Put your hands right now on your hips right now. The presence of God right now is going into your hips, driving out all pain, all difficulty right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Right now, just begin to move your hip. You'll see the presence of God go into it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at this lady. Come, come, come. Come on, run. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a big shout tonight. Come on, shout tonight. Hallelujah. Woo!
Come on, people. That woman was on a walker. She couldn't walk.
Come on up.
That woman couldn't walk.
Jesus.
She couldn't walk. She right came now. In with a walker. Come on, cancer. Her whole body Jesus filled name. With cancer. Then she stopped walking.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now, release it. Create a miracle. Come here. Come here.
A car accident last night.
Come here, my friend. You have the microphone. Help us with your name.
My name is Mary Ann.
Hey, what happened, Mary Ann?
We were in a car accident last night, and the car rolled, and then I couldn't walk, and my back and my leg, I couldn't feel my leg, and now everything is just fine.
Just all around, sure, good. No pain. Hallelujah.
Thank you, my Father. Come on, people, let's praise God. Let's praise God.
What happened? She looks a little drunk in the spirit to me, but
I just want to say, Tom, they phoned me specially. They're coming very far.
Yeah. They phoned me to say they're going to be in the meeting tonight.
Awesome.
Her body filled with cancer. She can't walk without the walker. She struggled to breathe. And they made an appointment and said, please, there must be time to pray for her. They're coming very far. And I said, and look at it.
Awesome.
I think we need to praise
awesome.
God.
Thank you.
This is a wonderful thing that has happened.
Come on. You asked for the rain, we got the rain.
Once again. Once again.
It's your leg. So Paul says, I come with a demo. It's your leg. So Paul says, I come with a demonstration. Give me your hand. Lady, what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. Be healed right now. No more pain. No more weakness. Walk. Here. Tell us, what happened to you right now?
I feel better.
What was wrong?
I've got pain in my leg.
How long?
8 years.
You what? 8 years?
8 years.
And you're walking around with a crutch?
Yeah.
And now you don't need it anymore?
Yeah.
That means no. Come on, somebody. Demonstration. Experience.
Yes. Are you struggling when you walk with the crutches?
Exactly.
So stand up with your crutches and show us how you stand up. Struggling a little bit, he's got cancer, struggling to walk. When did you contract this cancer?
It's about 2 years back now.
2 years? You got a lot of pain?
Yes.
Just come here. Would you stop right there? Stay on your feet. Brace yourself up straight. Look at me. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the Living God, is now making you well. Drop those crutches. Drop them. Come here. Come here. Just take your sandals off. Cancer, unable to walk, comes off.
Come, Philip. Come, Fleur. Now, Philip is driving a bus every Saturday night, driving hundreds of sick to this place. 2 years later, the miracle still holds. Philip, did you ever got the cancer again?
It was negative.
It's never. Always been negative. How do you feel after 2 years?
Much, much better. And my life has totally changed.
And now you're serving God?
Yes, I'm serving God.
Is it worthwhile trusting Jesus?
Yes. Really, Jesus is the only cure.
Jesus loves you. You don't have to die. You don't have to die.
This guy has AIDS. He's dying. They carried him in. He cannot walk.
See, you don't have to die.
Thank you.
This man sitting there. Look at that. They bring the people from hospital here because there's no hope for them. There's no hope for them. Sir, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command the spirit of death to go away from you. I command life to come back.
Yes.
And sitting here tonight, you will experience the healing power of the Lord Jesus. You are very weak right now. Strength is coming back into your life. Strength. Death will go and you will live.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, my Father.
Thank you.
Come, sir. Take that thing. Take that thing. Let's walk a little. Let's walk a little. Just walk a little. There he goes. Look at it! Look at it! Come on, somebody! Shout the praises of Almighty God! Woo! 14 days. How do you feel, sir?
I guess it's written all over my face. Because
can we give God some praise in the house? 14 days later. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Look at it. Look at it. Come on, somebody. Shout the praises of... What is wrong?
Okay, this girl is mute. She cannot speak and she cannot walk for over a month. They don't know what it is. It's some kind of disease. She's unable to speak or walk.
How long is she walking like this with a walker? 4 months.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. Jesus, strengthen my sister now. Give her back her life. Give her back her life. Can't walk, can't talk. Look at me, my sister. Jesus Christ is going to give you back your health tonight. Walking, talking, living. Yeah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Talk.
That's right.
I can talk.
Come on, there goes the lady.
Mama can talk.
Can you talk?
I can talk.
Now you can walk too, in Jesus' name.
Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap.
Perfection.
Amen. You can shut it off. Woo. Every time I see that, it just makes me weep. Did anyone enjoy that? Did anyone like that? Is that all right? Woo. Wow. All right. I've seen that about 1,000 times, and I still cry every time. I can't help it. Woo. Awesome God. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you have an awesome God. Come on, somebody. All right. Oh, man. Wow. Okay. Well, tonight, let's do this, and then we'll just kind of shift gears. I want you to grab your Bibles for a few minutes and go to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm just going to read a couple scriptures, and we're going to give you an opportunity to to give an offering. And so, ushers, if you guys are ready, when I'm done, that'll be great. Hallelujah. Whew. Man, my heart's just going. I can just feel it. It's going to be a good night. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. So just hold on a second, guys. But Philippians 4 says this. Watch this. Okay. Now, this is Paul's last words. Now, can you imagine? You know you're going to die. I mean, he knows he's going to die. They're going to kill him. So his last words are going to be some of his most important words that he's spoken. This is his favorite church, and he writes his favorite church his last words. So the topic has got to be important. Can we all agree with that? Okay. So Philippians 4 says, verse 15, "For you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me," or actually it's the Greek word partnered with me, "concerning giving and receiving except you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Now watch verse 17. "Not that I seek the gift," come on, "but I seek that fruit may abound to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Verse 19. "And my God shall supply all, every believer's need." Is that what it says? So who's he talking to? No. Who's he writing this letter to? The Philippians. Partners of his ministry. This is a partner letter. He just said it. He said, "No one partnered with me like you guys." Did he write these same words to the Corinthians? Did he write these same words to the Colossians or to the Galatians? Come on, somebody. But these people had so had his heart, they gave not once, but again and again, and they were so generous to him. He said, "Listen, I don't even seek your gift." But he said, "I seek that fruit may abound to your account." And then he says, "Listen, it's a sweet-smelling aroma." And then as Paul's last words, he says to his favorite church, he says, "And my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now we obviously, the Holy Spirit used it for all of us, but you have to understand, in its context, it was writing to those believers right there. Come on, somebody. Amen. This was written to believers who were generous. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, "Be generous." Amen. So he's writing to these generous believers. He says, "Listen, I'm not seeking your gift, but I'm seeking that fruit may abound to your account." Then he says, "And as you give, it's a sweet smelling aroma." What is it? Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Come on, right? Then he says, "Now my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, Pastor and I were talking today about several different things. And we were talking about, even if you watch the news at all today, you saw the Dow Jones plummeting over 1,000 points. I don't know, what did it end up at? Anyone see? 600 under. Okay. 680 down. Okay. So in a day and an age when things are volatile right now, even in the stock market and stuff, you know, I was sharing with Pastor about a time I ministered in New Jersey, not that far from where he used to pastor. And I ministered in this church in Wall, New Jersey. And while I was ministering there, I shared this scripture and I mixed it with another scripture in the Old Testament. And as I did, I was sharing with the people that there's four ways that God blesses you, okay? There's four ways God blesses you financially. Number one is everyone's favorite, money, right? Number two, the second way God blesses you is with favor. The third way God blesses you is with things. And the fourth way God blesses you financially is with deals. Money, favor, things, and deals. Those are the four ways God blesses you back financially. Come on, somebody, right? And but it's one of the areas that God wants us to change our thoughts in. You know, just like the Lord gave me that word here tonight. I was sitting there. I said to Pastor during that song, as we were singing that song, I'm like, "Man, I got a prophetic word burning in my heart. I got to share this tonight." And so this is the one area that God even wants to change the church. How do I know that? God had to speak this to me. God had to change some things in me. Come on, put your hand on your neighbor's forehead. Say, "Lord, please change their mind." Some of the ladies are slapping their husbands back there, all right? You can't bang it into his head, ladies, all right? You can try, but probably feels good. But we have to change the way we think. Come on, somebody. Amen? And so we have to think like God thinks. Come on, right? We have to think like God thinks. And I was ministering in this church in Wall, New Jersey, and I started to say to the people, I said, did you know there was a study that was done the year 1900, 90% of Americans were entrepreneurs, and 10% worked for someone else. Exactly 100 years later, in the year 2000, 90% worked for someone else, and 10% were entrepreneurs. Just 100 years later, that whole entrepreneurial spirit was crushed in this country. But I tell you what, we have to get back to an entrepreneurial spirit. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I shared that in that church, and I said, listen, God wants to bless you. If you don't want the money, great, give it to the kingdom. Some people say, I just want enough for me and mine. Fine, the church will take it. Come on, somebody. All right. Let God bless you. Come on, prophesy to your neighbor. Say, let God bless you, and then just give it away if you don't want it, all right? Okay. Amen. But have a prosperity mindset. Don't have a poverty mindset. Come on, right? And that's one of the things that's killing our country is that poverty mindset. Amen. And so, but if we'll have a prosperity mindset, everything will begin to be blessed and changed. And I was telling Pastor Rick, I said, I was in that church, and a young boy in the church, a 16-year-old kid, turned to his mom and dad, 16, and said, Mom and Dad, I'm going to start my own company. The mother said, I don't care, do whatever you want. He was working at McDonald's. So he said, I'm going to start a company. And so he thought and he looked and he looked on the internet and he got some ideas and he started a company in his garage. 6 months later, he called us. He didn't call us, his mother called us. His mother said, 6 months later, I want you to pray for my son. I said, why? She said, he's made so much money since he started his own company. He's made over $120,000 in 6 months. She said, that's more than my husband and I combined. Come on, somebody. And so I said, okay, so what's the problem here? She said, well, he's thinking about not going to college in 2 years. I go, lady, hey, listen, in 6 months he's made that kind of money. In 2 years he may buy the college. Just leave him alone, all right? Just leave the kid alone. He's doing something. Come on, somebody. Amen? Come on. Have an entrepreneurial mindset. I mean, what if God was to breathe on you and give you a divine idea that you could be an incredible blessing to the church? Come on, somebody. I was telling Pastor about a friend of mine that was in those same meetings that God gave him an idea. And God so blessed him with this idea. It's kind of like a Roku. It's actually called Omniverse. That he made tens of millions of dollars in no time. And he's a tither. And he's a tongue talker. And he's not ashamed of it. And he went and he promotes the gospel first on his, it's a box. You can get it at any Best Buy. If you go into Best Buy, you just look for Omniverse. It's right next to Roku. It's the same type of thing. But, I could tell you of one after another. The sewing machine. Did you know that the sewing machine was given to somebody in a prophetic dream? Did you know that? That was all in a dream. That was in a prophetic dream. Did you know that the light bulb that Thomas Edison went and tried it 99 times and failed? And he prayed. And that night God gave him a prophetic dream and he saw how to make it work. Come on, somebody. How many of you think God knows everything? Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, no matter what it is, I mean, who knows that you may be the next Bill Gates. I mean, Bill Gates, here he goes, and he flunks out of college and stuff, and everybody says he's a failure and stuff, and yet he goes and he becomes the richest man in America. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Yeah, we had a lady, I shared this in a church up north, up in Minnesota, and this lady went and she bought houses. That's what she would do. Her husband divorced her and ran off with someone else. And so she goes, God, I'm a tither and I don't, you know, I'm too old to go ahead and start a new career. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to buy homes and have someone fix them up. So she started buying these old dilapidated homes in Mankato, Minnesota. And she, right after our meeting, we prayed for her. We agreed. We said, all right, Lord, bless her with this very, very first one. So she went and, we agreed. That was in 1999. We prayed and we agreed with her. And she went and she left. She left that meeting and she went and she made a bid on a house in town that was right on the verge of, not bankruptcy, but what do they call it? Where they bulldoze the thing? Where they... Condemning. Yeah, almost going to condemn the thing. She bought this thing. It was just a piece of junk. And she said, Tom, it just took all day to throw all the junk out of the house. It was a foreclosure by a bank, and it was just from an old person who died and had no relatives. And so how many of you know when you buy a house, you get all the junk that's in the house too, right? So she went through the house. She said, Tom, it took me a week to just get rid of the junk. Not even to fix it, just to get rid of the junk. And so she said, I thought, well, I probably better go on up into the attic and see what's up there. So she goes on up into the attic, and ladies, help me. What do you call that where you put clothes into like a chest? What do you call that? Like a hope chest or something? I don't know. Yeah. Okay. She saw this hope chest, and she thought, well, it's probably filled with clothes or something like that. Well, she couldn't pick it up. So she opens it up, and there were some clothes and junk in there, and she throws it out of there, and she looks, and here this woman for 50 years was collecting gold coins. She bought the house literally for $30,000, not even, and she ended up, when it was all said and done, she said, Tom, the gold coins alone were worth over $200,000. Come on, somebody. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. I'll tell you what, God blesses people that look for it. Come on, if you don't want it, your neighbor will take it. How many of you will take it if God will bless you with it? All right, amen. I mean, wouldn't it be great if, man, about a dozen of you, God would just raise you up as millionaires and you could just fund the gospel and just fund missions? And how many of you would volunteer for that? Anyone volunteers for that? Well, we got some liars here tonight. But tonight, all right, if you're ready to give, just, I think in front of you is there offering envelopes in front of them or no? Oh, okay. If you need an offering envelope, just wave these good looking guys down in the back of the church. Just raise your hand real high if you need an offering envelope. If you make out a check, you can make it out to New Life, New Life Church. Some of these guys need offering envelopes. Just raise your hand. Keep your hands up if you need an offering envelope. Several people need offering envelopes, guys, if you could help us. Anyone on this side, you need offering envelopes in the back? Okay. New Life Church, just make a check out to New Life Church. Hallelujah. Whoops. Oh. If you make out a check, just make it to New Life Church. You spell million, M-I-L-L-I-O-N, and just to help you out there a little bit here tonight. So praise God. We'll just give you a second to put that together. As you're putting your offering together, I'll tell you a funny story. Can I tell you a funny story during the offering? Okay, first time I ever went to Norway and ministered, in this one part, I should say, in Norway. And I just came from ministering in Norway. And so the pastor went and said, it was a lady pastor. And so she said, okay, it's time for tithes and offerings. So as soon as she said that, everyone clapped and everyone jumped up and ran to the altar. Like 150, 200 people ran to the altar, like right up in this area up here. And so I'm like, I'm Mr. Inquisitive. I'm sitting on the front row and I'm like, I'm getting ready to preach, but I'm like, what are they doing up there? So I whispered to the pastor, I said, Pastor, what are they doing up there on the front row, up there on the altar? She says, oh, the ATM machine is up there on the altar, right on up there. I said, say that again. I mean, I'm not religious, but boy, that one, I kind of buckled my knees for a second. I said, what? And sure enough, as soon as she says that, the lady up in the front, I saw her swipe her card. She shouted, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and she went and sat down. She said, this is how we do it in Norway. This is how we give. I said, my God, we'd have to raise the dead in America. If we put an ATM machine on the altar, people would fall over dead. Some people won't even make out a check. They think it's ungodly. You know what I mean? She said to me, she said, you have to understand, anyone in Europe under 25 has never seen a check. That's why in American movies, when we talk about write me a check, kids have no idea. Young people under 25 don't even know what a check is. What is a check? All they know is cash and plastic. That's all they know. So, but I thought it was kind of funny. So let's hold our offering up. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus over the gift and the giver, Lord, I pray that you would multiply it back. God, give people dreams tonight, prophetic dreams. Give them ridiculous dreams that they could fund this harvest, Lord. Fund the harvest of the kingdom and just really be a blessing to the kingdom like never before. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. Thanks, you guys. Bless you as they go around. I'll just share this with you very quickly, and then I'll share with you the word. How many of you like those, that video I showed of that guy there at the end? Anyone like that guy? Okay, I've got some of his videos in the back. His name is, he is a prophet friend of mine. His name is Prophet Corbis von Rensburg. And, he's out of South Africa. And just, it's two DVDs, and so it's just nothing but miracles. There's no teaching on it, it's just miracles. And so, be blessed. Enjoy. And, so I've only got a few of them out there. Also, we've also got some of John G. Lake's books out there as well. This one here is called Your Power in the Holy Spirit, and it talks about new manifestations of the Spirit that God's doing in this hour that we live, and very, very, very good stuff on the Holy Spirit, and so that'll stir your faith, all right? Yeah. So, tonight, grab your Bibles, and I may blow your minds tonight. I may go into some stuff that may blow your mind. Some of you I may not, but some of you it might. It might blow your brains right out of your head. Just tell your neighbor, say, I'll clean your brains up if you'll clean up mine, okay? All right, go over to Mark chapter 1. If we hear, we'll know what happened, all right? So just don't say anything. Okay. Mark chapter 1. So this is healing school. So we're going into healing school. If I didn't share that earlier, God really spoke to me about healing school the next three nights. So I want to cover some things. Some things you all already aware of. Some of these you won't be aware of. Some of these I may really kind of push your religious buttons. And some of them I may shoot your religious cows. But no. So if we hear it moo, we'll just make beef jerky out of the thing. All right. So Mark chapter 1 says, verse 40, Now a leper came to him and imploring him, kneeling down to him and said to him, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Okay? So he says, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Right? And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And then he warned him and sent him away at once. And it said, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way first and show yourself to the priest. Offer a cleansing for those things which Moses commanded as a testimony. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in desert places. And they came to him from every direction. Now notice that first verse or that verse 40. Verse 40 says this. Okay, let's go back over that. She says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then in verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, to you yes, to another no, and to another wait a while. Isn't that what it says there in your Bible? Wait a minute. You mean verse 41 does not say, it does not say that up there? To you, yes. To another, no. To another, wait a while? Huh. You mean it actually says, I am willing, be cleansed? So what is God's will regarding healing? It's yes. That's God's answer. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, for all the promises of God are to you, yes, to another, no, to another, wait a while. Is that what it is? No, all the promises of God are what?
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. So it's a very definite thing. Now, if you want to see people healed by your hands, one of the first things that you have to get over, the first hurdle you have to get over is this one here. Because if you don't get over this, you ain't going anywhere, bro. Okay? You're never going to see anyone healed. That's why you never hear of preachers who preach that kind of way. They have very little miracles in their lives. Very few times will you see, in fact, I've never seen it in 30 years of ministry. I've never seen a preacher come with this whole sovereignty of God mentality and ever see a consistent flow of healing. Because you're schizophrenic in your believing. I'll say it to you like this, okay? I have a dog. His name is Manny. He's a little Yorkie. This is my wife's little baby. When I'm allowed to, then maybe I can sleep in the same part of the bed where he is, if he allows me, and it's a good day, you know. But little Manny is there. He's 8 pounds, and he thinks he's, 208 pounds. But so one day we went and we said, you know, he needs a friend because Susie and I travel a lot. And so we said, we got to get him a friend. So we looked and looked. And so finally one day we went and we got a phone call from a friend of ours in Miami. And she said, listen, we've got a dog. I don't know if you'd be interested, but he's a rescue dog. We found him behind a church, eating out of a dumpster, and his whole back is completely skinned from his tailbone all the way to his neck, about a strip off that much of no hair at all. And this dog is just been, you know, filled with mange, and so they had to cut him and clean him up, and so they said, would you come and take a look at this dog and maybe take this dog? And so we said, sure. So we go and we get this dog. And we say, well, okay, we'll try it for 2 weeks. So we get this dog. We fall in love with the dog. We change his name to Jax. So his name is Jax. He's 20 pounds, and he thinks he's 2 pounds. And the other one thinks he's, you know, 8 pounds, and he thinks he's 200 pounds. So Jax, you know, runs and plays, and the two boys, they play together all the time. Okay. In fact, right when I came into the church, I was talking to my wife, and I could hear the toys squeaking and these two dogs chasing each other and stuff. But we had Jax about a month, and so Jax wasn't used to us, and we weren't used to Jax. And so one day I was wrestling around with Manny on the floor, and as I was wrestling around with him, I went and I quickly reached over to Jax like that, and when I did, I forgot that this dog had been violently abused by his former owners. We don't know exactly what was done to him. And he fell over on his back and he began to shake like this with his paws in the air and his eyes were big. He thought I was going to beat him. And when he did that, the Holy Spirit said, this is how most of my church acts with me. They don't know if I will bless them or I will break their legs and give them cancer to show them how powerful I am. And I just wept in the middle of my floor because the Lord began to show me this is how God sees the church so much of the time that as he goes and comes to minister to us, we hear preachers that preach, God gives you cancer to teach you something. God gives you high blood pressure to show you how powerful he is. He wants to give you a car accident just to show you he's God and you're not. And all of this religious crap, because that's what it is. It's nothing but USDA crap that comes out of pulpits that preach that junk. Come on, somebody. And there's not one scripture to fulfill or to show it's true, that it's a scriptural a way of God dealing with mankind. Because God went and sent Jesus Christ to a cross for full payment. Can we all agree with that? Okay. So he sent him for full payment. Now, I went to a Bible school in Minnesota, and they were into this whole thing. Everything was sovereignty of God, which is funny because the Bible, New Testament, hardly even uses that word at all. It's very, very definite with a lot of different things. But anyways, that's another story. So here I am, and this preacher is going to say, God went and gave me this disease and gave me that disease and went and took one of my kids early just to show me how much he loved me, and I learned so much through it and all of this stuff. And he went and gave me this disease and gave me that disease and that sickness and then this car accident and stuff. And he was teaching this, and I just had enough. I was 19 years old. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to listen to this. This is absolutely anti-scriptural and anti-God. I'm not going to have him, you know, preach something that is absolutely not true. So my friends thought I was absolutely insane. I raised my hand. I asked this question. I said, what happened at the cross, professor? He said, Jesus Christ paid for all of our sins. I said, all of them? He said, all of them. I said, you mean there's no sin that he won't forgive? I said, none. He said, none. I said, yeah, but you just told us God is sovereign and he can pick and choose what he does. Now he's stuck. Because at the one time he shows a schizophrenic God that wants to heal sometimes, and sometimes he wants to give you the cancer, the disease, or whatever it is, just to show you how much he loves you. So I said, so we got to follow it the whole way through. You can't go and just cherry pick your way and smorgasbord. Well, healing, yeah, it's good for healing, but not for forgiveness of sin. So I said, if you go there with healing, then you have to go there with eternal life. That means that somebody can cry out to God for forgiveness and still burn in a godless hell. And he was stuck. Because he had been preaching blessing and cursing. Double-minded. James says, let a double-minded man think that he'll receive nothing from the Lord. Because he's unstable in all his ways. The word double-minded means a man of two thoughts. That's what it literally means in the Greek. A man of two thoughts. So see, on the same cross, Jesus Christ not only paid for all your sins, are you ready? But for all your sicknesses and disease. Every one of them. Come on, somebody. Not one sickness, not one disease, not one sin was not put on that cross. Can we all agree with that? Okay, so then we can't smorgasbord and say God is sovereign to choose which. No. Because once you go there, then you have to follow it the whole way through. And then I went on to say to the professor, I said, now you just told us that God wanted you sick to teach you something. Yes. I said, okay. Did you go to the doctor? Well, of course I did. I said, but you just told us God was wanting to teach you with your sickness. Are you trying to get out from underneath God's teaching? I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe? I mean, you got to be a hamburger short of a Happy Meal to come to that conclusion. Come on, somebody. I mean, that doesn't even make logical sense. Come on, help me here tonight. Is that true? Amen. So we have to know this, that God is definite. Hello. Amen. That God is a God of definites. God is a God of concretes. Number one, he is willing. Jesus Christ answered the question in Mark chapter 1, as well as I think it's in Matthew chapter 8. He said the same thing. So number one is you got to get that. All right. Number two, these are some healing facts I want to throw out to you. Number two, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Okay? That's not just your eternal life. That even is regarding sickness and disease. Come on. Amen? And so number three is that we see Christ's example in the Gospels. Did Jesus ever do that? Say, I want you to have this sickness because it's really good for you. Come on, somebody. No, we don't see that precedent in the Scripture. We don't see a precedent of that in the Scripture, okay? And so we see his example towards sickness, towards disease, towards devils. Come on, somebody. Amen? So how did the early church deal with sickness in the book of Acts? Did they do that? Did they preach the sovereignty of God? Was that their main thought? Come on, somebody. Amen? Hallelujah. Right? So, all right, so I don't know what number I'm on now, but four. Okay, so number four. Sickness was never a friend or teacher of the church. These have got to be rock solid in your heart. Sickness was never a friend or a teacher of the church. The Holy Ghost was called the teacher. In the Gospel of John. All right. You guys just got done with the Gospel of John, right? So in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16, he talks about the helper in the Amplified, the helper, the standby. Come on, somebody. The teacher, the advocate of the church, he calls him, right? The Holy Ghost, he will teach you all things. It doesn't say sickness and disease and pains and bondages and stuff. No. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. All right. Here we go here. This is number six. Woo, this is going to be a good one. All right. Hold on to your brains. I need miss number five. Okay, number five, this is going to rock you. You ready? You don't need the gift of healing to heal the sick. I'll say it again. Number five, you don't need the gift of healing to heal the sick. What? I'm going to prove it to you right out of your own Bible. Stay in the same book. Mark chapter 16. Hallelujah. I thought I heard a religious cow moo right there for a second. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Right? And he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who have special gifts and anointings and impartations and callings. Come on, somebody. Look up here. Come on. Oh, okay. Right? So look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. These signs will follow them that? So the word gift is not up there. Can we all agree with that? So what is the pre-qualification for healing? What, according to Jesus' words? Believing. So that means every single one of you that believe God raised Jesus from the dead, guess what? You can heal the sick. Come on, come on. How many of you believe God raised Jesus from the dead? Anyone in the whole church? Okay, you can heal the sick. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I can heal the sick. All right. Then it goes on to say, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. They'll drink anything deadly. It'll by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now watch, keep going. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down on the right hand of God. And they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Now leave that verse right there. They went out, they preached everywhere, right? The Lord was working for them while they sat at home and watched television. No, it says the Lord was working, what's that next word? With them. So he works with you. He doesn't work for you. Holy Ghost, go do it. I got to sit down and I got to watch the nightly news. I got to see what's going on in the world. You go do it. Go heal Aunt Margaret. Go heal my cousin Vinny. Nobody likes him anyway. So come on, somebody, right? But it doesn't work like that. Guess how he does it? How's the Holy Ghost going to do it? He's going to do it with you. So guess what he needs? According to the two previous verses before, they'll lay what? They'll lay hands on what? And they will recover. So he's got to have you as a part of this equation. I said he's got to have you as a part of this equation. So if I said, Pastor Rick, listen, I got a housing project. I got to fix up my house. I want to sell my house. Will you come down to Florida and help me re-roof my house? He says, sure, I'll come. He comes down. I have all of the tile up there and stuff. They do it real weird down there. I'm a Midwestern guy. I don't understand how they do their roofs down there. It's very strange. But so I have all the stuff up there, whatever it is, tiles and stuff that they use. And then Pastor Rick comes down. And I say, okay, here's the ladder. There's the tiles. There's the tools. And so Pastor Rick goes up on the roof. And he starts nailing stuff down and ripping stuff up. And he's sweating. After an hour and a half, he goes, where's Tom? And he comes down this ladder and he walks in the house and there's the air conditioning and I've got a great big sweet tea and a big bag of Doritos and another bag of Cheetos and I am up to my elbows with Cheetos and Doritos and I'm watching the ball game and I say, hey, how's it going up there, Pastor Rick? Pastor Rick said, I thought you said you wanted me to help you do it. Oh, no. I want you to do it all. See, and that's what we do with God. We say, God, we want you to go do it. God says, no. This whole dialogue is about you going, and God says, I'll do it with you. And nowhere in this dialogue does it mention the fivefold ministry. And nowhere in this dialogue does it mention not only pastors, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not only does it not mention any of those, but it doesn't mention the word gifts anywhere in this whole chapter. Come on, somebody. So I shared this one thing here when I was in Nashville, Tennessee last November. So I was in this church and I shared, you don't need the gift of healing to heal the sick. That's another whole different ballgame altogether. Okay, so you don't even need the gifts to heal the sick. That freaked them out. This church freaked out. At the end of the service, this guy, he's a friend of mine. I've known him for a long, long time, almost 20 years. And he said, Tom, can we go out and get something to eat? I want to talk to you. I said, sure. So he and I went, and there was no, everywhere in Nashville shuts down at like 10 o'clock. So there was nothing open. So we had to go to a Waffle House, you know. So we went to a Waffle House and we're there, and he's like, okay, Tom, I got to ask you something. This whole thing that you don't need a gift to heal, I never heard that in my whole Christian life. I said, Randy, you're a born-again believer. You could heal the sick outside of the church building. You don't even need the church building. I go, watch this. I said to the waitress, could you come here and please help us? So she comes over. I said, listen, I said, this sounds crazy. But my friend here, and I pointed at Randy, I go, my friend here, he prays for sick people and they get well. She goes, that is weird. I said, I know it is. Isn't that crazy? I said, do you have any pain or sickness? And my friend Randy goes, I do. I didn't know I did. Okay. And so I said, yeah, he does. I go, Randy, be quiet. And so I said, lady, do you have any pain or sickness in your body? She says, well, funny enough, she said, that's why I was sitting behind the desk, is the cash register, because she said, I went and I was carrying something, she said, about 3 years ago, and I tripped and fell, and my foot went through a glass, not end table, but a coffee table. And she said, I completely severed the Achilles tendon. Excruciating pain. And she said, they reattached it, but it's painful 24 hours a day. She said, I take medication all the time for the pain. I said, watch this. I said, just put your foot right here, right by my friend. My friend's like, what are you getting me into here, you know? I'm like, Randy, just put your hand right on the woman's heel. So he puts his hands on the woman's heel. I said, 5 seconds, a 5-second prayer. I always say a 5-second prayer. Everyone say 5 seconds. If you have to pray for longer than 5 seconds, you're just trying to convince yourself. Not one of those healings you saw in that video was longer than 5 seconds. Did you notice that? Not one of them. You know, sometimes we're like, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you, the head of the universe, and God, we're so glad you're God and we're not, and we thank God for the book of Lamentations that's in the Bible. I haven't read in a long time, but I know it's there somewhere. And we're like, dear God, just pray for the stupid woman's heel, my Lord. I'm like, Randy, you got 5 seconds, go. I said, keep your eyes open, or I said, or I'll pinch you. I said, the Bible doesn't say close your eyes when you pray. So you don't have to close your eyes. And so Randy goes, okay. And he was going to shut his eyes, and he opened his eyes and thought I was going to pinch him, you know? And so he just said, in the name of Jesus, all pain go out of this woman's foot. I command this foot to be healed. Takes his hand away. And so the woman said, thank you. I said, well, move it. See what happened. She goes, I have no pain. She goes, oh my gosh, I haven't been able to do that in years, she said. Now Randy's like, no way, you know. I'm like, Randy, you gave it away now, all right. So, I mean, he was more shocked than she was, you know. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand, amen, come on. So that's why number 5 is you don't need a gift to heal. You can do this anytime, any place, anywhere, any given time. We were in Syracuse. We were ministering in Syracuse along this lines for 3 days. We did a 3-day thing. And then I took people to the mall. And so we went to the mall to heal the sick. And we just went in groups of 2, just like they did in the Bible, because I think they did it in groups of 2 so that the other one wouldn't chicken out. You know, so we went in groups of 2. I just made everyone go in groups of 2. And you can see the video of the testimonies on my YouTube channel. If you go on my YouTube channel, you'll see it. It's got a woman, she's got her hand, she goes, I saw miracles by my own hands, that's what she says. And so we went and I trained the people, and then I said, God wants to use you to heal, so you're going to pray for people for 5 seconds. You're just going to say to them, this sounds crazy, but do you have any pain? Yes, no, whatever. And then I said, then you say, I take people's pain away. Can I show you how I do that? Yes, sure, that'd be great. And so then we just go and then we pray for them, right? You know? And so the first guys, they went and they were like, okay, Lord, where do we go? Because they went to this big mall there in Syracuse. And the first place they saw was a karate studio. And the one guy goes, oh, there's got to be a lot of people hurting here. So they go to this karate studio. And so they walk in and he had never done it. And he thought, well, you know, there's only one way to walk on water. You might as well just jump out there and see what happens. And so he said, so we just went and I said, excuse me, it sounds crazy, but Is there anyone here that has any pain? I take people's pain away. And they go, yeah, that does sound crazy. And the one guy goes, I do. He said, I just came back from the doctors. My doctor said, I have to wait 6 months for my shoulder to heal from, what do they call that? Rotator cuff. And, so he said, my shoulder's all swollen and mobilized. His shoulder was in a sling like this. So the guy said, oh, that's easy. He saw me say that one time. So he said, oh, that's easy. He said, my head was like, are you crazy? You know? So he said, I just put my hand on the dude's shoulder and I said, in the name of Jesus, all pain go. Swelling go down in the name of Jesus. Took my hand away. He said, take it off. Try it. See what happened. The guy took his arm. He goes, I have absolutely no pain. And the guy just starts weeping. Come on, somebody. Revival hit the karate studio in Syracuse Mall. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, one after another, one guy said, Tom, I just chickened out. My wife was all excited, and he said, I chickened out. I went and said to my wife, you go do it. I'm going to just sit here. So he kind of sit. You ever notice they have all that seating area where the guys sit and are mad at their wives? The men are all sitting there watching their money go. They're waving goodbye to their money. And so he's sitting with all these disgruntled men sitting there, right? And so he's like, now, thank God, I don't have to do it, you know? So he sees her like a busy bee, you know, looking everywhere for someone that's sick. And because I say this, you know, it's one thing to get a word of knowledge, but, you know, it's easier to get a word of obvious. What's the word of obvious? Okay, if I'm walking like this, you don't have to say, wait a second here, I'm getting something from the Lord here. It's pretty obvious something's wrong with my leg. You understand? So I said, just look for a word of obvious. So anyways, he's watching his wife look for a word of obvious, and he thought, thank God, I don't have to do it. About that time, the guy next to him said, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, God, I don't want to lie. I just came from church, you know. And he said, I just came from a conference. And the guy said, so what are you doing here at the mall? And he said, all right. He goes, we came here, this guy from Florida told us that we had to come to the mall and pray for sick people and people with pain. He said, so I just let my wife do it and I'm going to sit here. And so the guy goes, you see that little girl behind you? He looks behind him. And there's a 16-year-old girl who is in a walk, coming up to them in a walker, 16 years old. The man next to him starts weeping and says, my wife and I just paid $1.5 million of taking that girl to every doctor we can in America, and nobody can fix that girl's legs. If you could say a little prayer, that'd be great. And the guy's like, God, I just tried to get out of it, and you threw me right in there. He said, I felt like Jonah, you threw me in there. And so he said, I had no faith at all. I just went and put my hands, just sheer obedience, you know, just in the name of Jesus, all pain go. And so he was going to explain to the guy why it doesn't happen sometimes. You know, sometimes it doesn't happen. I don't know exactly why. About the time, as soon as he touches the girl, he takes his hand away. The girl pulls the walker away. Boom, she takes off walking, totally healed. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Amen. Obedience. We were in Modesto, California. You could see this whole video on my YouTube channel. And I took this guy with me. He was really nervous. I said, come on, let's just go heal the sick on the street. He's like, okay. He goes into emergency tongues. I'm like, brother, you don't have to pull the emergency tongues cord. It's okay. So we're going along. We're looking here, talking to people there, and come up to this lady and we start to talk to her, and I just sensed in my spirit that they were involved in a type of witchcraft. They call it Santeria. If you know what, anyone know what Santeria is? It's like a mixture of the witchcraft and the Catholic Church. It's what it is. And so it's very common in Puerto Rico, and so this lady was from Mexico, and so I just had a sense of that. And so I just said to this woman, I said, listen, I said, I got to ask you a question. It sounds crazy. Do you have any pain? She says, I do, but why do you ask? And I said, well, I take people's pain away. And so she says, by what power do you do it? And so I said, well, it's better that I show it to you than I just tell it to you. And so then you see me in the video, I say that to her, this guy's shooting it with my iPhone, you know, he's got my iPhone, he's shooting this whole thing. So I said, let me just show it to you rather than tell it to you. Now I just sensed that she was real concerned because here it's two young guys, and here she is, and she's all nervous. Now her hands are all swollen from rheumatoid arthritis. She can't move her arms, she can't close her hands, hardly at all. And you can see her arms are all just red with inflammation. And so she's got her arms like this. I said, so what's the pain right now on a scale of 1 to 10? She said, it's about a 9. It's very painful. So I said, okay, watch this. And so from me to him away, you see it in the video, I just stretched my hand like this. I didn't even say in the name of Jesus. And I didn't even say in Jesus' name too. Because when you do this, you're doing it, guess what? In Jesus' name. So I just stretched my hand. I took my hand away. I said, move your hand. She goes, oh my gosh, how did you do that? I said, I did it by the power of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Amen. Totally healed of inflammation and rheumatoid arthritis. Come on. Amen. So it just goes to show you that God is looking to heal. Come on, prophesy to your neighbor. Say, God is looking to heal. Come on, tell someone, say, he wants to use you. Hallelujah. Right? All right, you don't need a gift of healing to heal. Number six, I guess, God's sovereignty was never taught in the Gospels or the book of Acts. Number seven, you cannot have faith and mix it with unbelief and call it balance. I'll say that again. You cannot have faith and mix it with unbelief and call that balance. Any more than you can have sin and mix it with a little righteousness and call that balanced. Come on, somebody. How many of you think God wants us to live holy? Come on, raise your hand if you think God wants us. Of course he does, right? So we don't mix that, so why do we try to mix faith? Some preachers say, well, I need to balance this. Do you ever see Jesus saying, listen, these disciples are preaching too much faith and expectation and all of that. I need to balance it with a little unbelief and tell you a couple stories of people that died and were sick and tumors grew and we went and we prayed for it, you know, all right? Come on, somebody. You don't see that, do you? No, you always see God, Jesus as God's representative coming forth with healing. Amen? So you can't mix the two together. All right. I always say this, that you have to always be, what's the word I'm looking for? Be excited over every miracle. That's why I wanted to show you that second video of that guy. Now listen, think of it this way. What if you went to a church where every Sunday you saw at least 200 to 250 lame people walk? And then you see another one, you don't go, the pastor that was up there on the video, he always teaches his people, we rejoice with every miracle like we never saw it before. Come on, someone. Amen? Come on. Rejoice with every miracle like you've never seen one before. Some people, I don't know if they're wanting Jesus to, you know, appear nightly or something. I don't know what it is they want him to do. Come on, somebody. Amen? But I'm telling you that we have to be excited. Even last night, as the Holy Spirit was moving up here last night, what's the lady's name with the wrist that was healed down here on the end? Patty. Patty's wrist was totally healed. Patty, are you here tonight? No. Okay, she's not here tonight. So, I mean, it was awesome. Awesome. I was more excited, I think, than she was over her wrist. But I've seen them, thousands of them. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. I mean, I've seen thousands of people healed of cancer. Thousands of them. I've had people come up to me and they're like, I need you to pray for me. I've got cancer. And it's like they have that look in their eye. Like I'm going to say, oh my God, no way. Now we really got to pray. Holy cow. Wow. Can you see God go, what? You got what? Oh, myself. He can't say, oh my God, because he is God. You understand? So, oh myself. Bad joke. Just everyone pray for me right now. It's youth ministry. Just ruined me. So, all right. But We have to know that God is always willing to heal. And as we know that, we rejoice with every miracle like we've never seen it before. Come on. The woman in the waffle store, I got, wow, that's awesome. Like I've never seen it before. Why? Because, listen, if it's old to you, it means it's no more real to you. Because when it's real to you, it never gets old. If you didn't get that the first time, I'll say it again. If it's real to you, it never gets old. Because once it gets old, we know it's no more real. Come on, somebody. Amen. Some people say, I've heard that. I've heard that. I had one lady say that. I've already heard all that before. I said, hey, has your husband ever said to you that he loves you? Well, yeah. I said, well, you don't want him to say it again. You already heard that. Oh, no, I want to hear my husband say, oh, no, you already heard that before. You don't need to hear that again. Come on, ladies, how many of you want to hear your husband say, I love you? Come on, anybody? Why? Because you want it to be real to him, and you want it to be real to you. Come on, right? Amen. I thought the ladies would really help me out there, but that's all right. Hallelujah. Healing is not a reward for faithfulness. I don't know what number that is, but God does not reward faithfulness with healing. It's just because he's good. Yeah, I hear some people pray for somebody. Oh, Lord, she's the head of the Sunday school for 27 years. Like God's going, okay, well, that's a good resume. Put that on monster.com, you know. All right, I wasn't going to do it, but that pushed it over. Now she's the head of the Sunday school. All right, now we'll heal her. All right, come on, Angel Gabriel, give me the healing gun. There it is. Come on, somebody. Do you really think that God is impressed with your resume? Come on, somebody. We're not going to impress God. We're not trying to con the Lord. God is not impressed with that stuff. Come on, somebody. Amen. That doesn't impress him. Come on, somebody. But it's faith. It's expectancy. It's faith. It's expectancy. Come on. Destroy this CD. Don't let anyone ever hear it. Or put a disclaimer on it. Warning. Preacher may make a funny noise at the end of the message. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the funniest things happen in church. Can I just tell you something funny that's not even spiritual? Is that all right? I'm going to do it anyway. You might as well say yes. One of my dearest friends is Jack Coe. How many of you know ever heard the name Jack Coe? Okay, Jack Coe was a great, great man of God in the 1940s and 50s. He's gone to be with the Lord. But his son's name is Jack Coe Jr. And so Jack Coe is a dear friend of mine. And he's just a jokester and a half. And we just tell each other funny church things that we see. And, oh, man, just some of them I can't even tell you in church. It's just so bad. But, dear Lord. But just some of the things that we see as evangelists. I mean, I could tell you so many things. I made him laugh one time. He almost wet himself and he had to get up and preach. I told him I had a guy in one of my services in New Jersey. Actually, a guy stood up and said, yay, thus saith the Lord, I am Jesus and I'm coming soon. And you'll look for me, says the Lord, from the east. And I'll be coming on the Starship Enterprise. And Jack had to get up and go preach. I mean, I thought he was going to have a conniption right there. He was wrecked. He couldn't even hardly preach. But he told me a funny one that just happened to him in Germany. He said, all these people are getting up, giving great testimonies of healing and all of these different testimonies, people getting up and this one and that one. And this guy came up and said, oh, man, I'm just having the time of my life. He said, my wife, she never let me spend money or stay up late and watch television. But he said, I just want to praise the Lord and testify. She died 3 years ago and now I spend all the money I want and I stay up all night long watching television. Jack's like, God, get me out of here. Rapture me. Do something. How do I fix this service now, you know? It's okay to laugh in church. Come on, right? If you can't laugh in church, where can you laugh, right? Will you get that altar time ready for me? Hallelujah. God's good. God wants to heal. Right? God wants to heal people. He's always looking to heal. I'll just share this with you of God's goodness. I was on a plane flying home from Canada. And as I was on this plane, I was flying home from Canada. And I was really tired. And I told my wife, I said, I'm just going to sleep the whole way home. I used to do 2 meetings a day. When I first met your pastor, that's what we always did. 2 meetings a day for at least a week at a time. And so I was exhausted from preaching literally hundreds of messages over months. And so I just told Susie, I said, I'm going to sleep the whole way home. So I got on the plane and I put my hoodie up, put my sunglasses on, put my earbuds in, and I just fell asleep. And as I did, I went and I drifted off, and after about an hour or so, I wake up and I see this lady next to me, and she's reading a Christian book, Mike Bickle's book, Growing in the Prophetic. And so I'm like, wow, Lord, you want me to talk to this lady, you know? So I went and I said to her, I said, hey, that's a good book. And I said, are you guys from Florida? And she said, no. She said, my husband and I are from Cincinnati. I said, oh, okay, I minister there. I said, I'm a minister. And she said, oh, that's great. So I said, well, what brings you to Florida? Why are you going to Fort Lauderdale? She said, well, we're going on a 4-day cruise to get my husband away because she said, now her husband's sitting right there. She said, my husband just had another heart attack, his 4th heart attack. The doctor said his blood pressure so high forced him into early retirement. I think he was 55 years old. Early retirement because of his heart. He said, the doctor told him, one more and you're done. That's it. You'll never survive another one. He said, you have the heart of a 90-year-old man. That's what he told this guy. You have a 90-year-old heart in a 55-year-old body. And I said to the lady, I go, oh, that's nothing. I said, watch this. You know, I didn't even ask. Because sometimes it's easier to get forgiveness and permission. So I just put my hand on the dude's chest. I said, in the name of Jesus, all pain go. I command a creative miracle. I command a brand new heart to form in your chest right now. And then I took my hand away. I prophesied to him. I said, when you get onto the ship, I said, as soon as you get onto the ship, you check your blood pressure will come down almost half of what it's been. And I said, you'll feel better than you've felt in the last 20 years. And I said, and before your feet step back into your house in Cincinnati, I said, the doctors will say you have the heart of a 16-year-old boy. Now the wife is bawling like a baby. He's crying, big tears, big old dude. He was one of the main police guys, chief of police, whatever. And he's crying, she's crying. I give him my business card. We land. I said, call me, tell me what God does. Right? So Susie and I had to run over to our office. I forgot something I had to drop off at our ministry office. So we swung by and the phone is ringing and I could hear it. So I open the door and I get in and I just answer it. Scarella Ministries. And here's this woman screaming hysterically. I said, lady, I cannot understand you. I'm sorry. I don't know what you're saying. You have to slow down. She said, we just sat with you on the airplane. You prayed for my husband, and his heart, his blood pressure has gone down so much, he feels like a teenager. Now, that's not the end. I said, well, that's great, but that's not the end of what I prophesied. I said, so tell me what God does when you get home and you walk into your house. She says, oh, I'm way ahead of you. I've already called the doctor. She says, the moment we land in Cincy, we're going right to the doctor. I'm not even asking my husband. He's doing it. So a week later, we get a call, and she is a basket case. And she says, we had a great time on the cruise. We came back. We go into the doctor's office. The doctor checks him, comes back in and looks at him funny and says, something's wrong. We got to recheck this. Got to rerun these tests. They rerun the tests. They do an EKG. They do all of this stuff. She, the doctor comes back in the second time and says, something's wrong with our equipment. We have to recalibrate our equipment. Something's wrong here. And somehow something's not right. And so they did it the third time. They were there at the doctor's office for over 3 hours. At the end of 3 hours, the doctor had done it 4 different tests on every machine. And the doctor walked into his waiting room with the whatever clipboard and threw it across the room and goes, I don't know what to tell you. You have the heart of a 16-year-old boy. That's what you got. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good. I said, God's good. Amen. I'm telling you, those believers, they were so strengthened in their faith that God could do it outside of the church building. Isn't that amazing? God can heal outside the church. You know, when you leave tonight, Pastor and I don't go and say, okay, Pastor, you hang up the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And I'll hang up on the wall, I'll hang up gifts of healings and workings of miracles, and we'll just hang them up on hooks for the next time people come to church. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit lives in you. All right? So that's the last point I want to bring you tonight is this. Is you have to have a mindset that God lives in here. God doesn't live in this building for any other reason than that you're here. The only reason God's here is because you're here. I'm just going to really freak you out. I mean, the greatest revival meeting I ever had was with Tommy there in Miami. We were going to do a conference. We were going to rent this seeker-sensitive church. And when they found out that we spoke in tongues, they wouldn't let us use their facility. And so this evangelist friend of mine called me and said, Tom, I have called every venue possible to rent. The only person in all of Miami that will rent to us for those 3 nights of revival meetings is a strip club. And we rented a strip club. Now, there was nobody there, okay? Let me just pre-qualify that, all right? I better pre-qualify that. But I had the best time swinging around that pole as I was preaching, I'm telling you right now. I just told the crowd, I said, I got to swing around it one time so I can say I did it. Sorry, you know, maybe it's a kid in me or something. I don't know what it is. Maybe I need deliverance. I don't know, but I had to do it. I just did it one time to say I did it. Come on. Those were the greatest meetings ever. I'm telling you. It just goes to show that God doesn't dwell in buildings. God dwells in people. I said, God dwells in people. I said, God dwells in people. And guess what? He dwells in you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he dwells in me. Come on. So if he lives in you, what's he doing in you? Is he just hitchhiking? Is he just waiting? Oh, I can't wait for her to die and take her to heaven. That's my whole goal. All my whole goal for her whole life is her to die and her to go to heaven. You really think that's God's full goal for your entire destiny of your life? No, of course not. That's not God's ultimate goal. Listen, God's goal is not to get you to heaven. God's goal is to get heaven in you. Come on, right? That's God's goal, is that Christ would come live on the inside of you, that you can go and you can minister healing to the sick. Come on, somebody. That you can raise the dead, that you can cleanse the lepers, that you can win people to Christ, that you can get people baptized and discipled and baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's God's goal. God's goal to raise you up as a disciple, to do the works of Christ. Come on, say, I can do it. I mean, we've trained, you know, I've trained 10-year-olds to do this. But you have to have a mindset that God lives in here. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on, do this. Say, God lives right here. So if God is in here, now, okay, I'm not talking like crazy like Oprah is. Okay, she's on acid or something, but she believes she is God. I'm not saying you are God. I'm saying God lives in you. Come on. All right. That's a total different thing. That's a whole new age. She's in that whole new age junk and bunk and baloney. Okay, I don't believe that you are God. You have God inside you. And you're one spirit with the Holy Ghost from heaven. And guess what? It's the same Holy Ghost that Oral Roberts has. It's the same Holy Ghost that Kenneth Hagin had. It's the same Holy Ghost that that guy in the video had. It's the same Holy Ghost that Peter, Paul, James, John, and Jesus Christ had himself. Come on, say this out loud. Say, I have the same Holy Ghost that Jesus had. It's the same Holy Spirit. You don't have, well, you got his cousin. Well, you really don't have the real Holy Ghost. Yeah, you just got the cousin of the Holy Spirit. That's like a step cousin, really, twice removed, with buck teeth and bad breath and B.O. No. You have the same Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You have the same Holy Spirit, but you have to have that mindset that he lives in you. If he lives in you, it's the same Holy Spirit that Pastor Rick has. Come on. Amen. And it's the same Holy Ghost that I have. And guess what? We can minister healing to you tonight. But you have to have a mindset that, listen, we're not trying to get God to come down from heaven. God did come down in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. He did come down. Not he's going to come down. No, he did come down. Okay? Come on. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I pray tonight for every person that's here in the name of Jesus. Lord, tonight I thank you that we don't have a cousin of the Holy Ghost. But we have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in us, and is even healing people right now that are sitting here. Even now, that same anointing, that same Spirit, that same Holy Ghost is here right now touching people's bodies. Some people are here tonight and they have pain and sickness in their body and they want to be free of it, Lord. And you're so good that you want to drive it out of them. You don't want them to be like Jax and wondering, is God going to hit me or is God going to love me? You're not that type of God. You're the tender Father. You're the loving Jesus Christ from heaven. And we thank you for it tonight. If you're here tonight, please forgive me for being so crazy here tonight, all right? But let me just say this. Is that if you're here tonight and you say, Tom, listen, my heart's away from God. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to be born again or rededicate my life. Tonight, if that's you, I want you to quickly raise your hand. Anyone tonight, is that you tonight? I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. Thank you. Okay, just stand up. Just stand up right where you are. I just want to pray for you, all right? Just stand up, all right? I won't embarrass you. Just come on up here. I just want to pray for you for right now. Just come on up here, right here, all right? Just come on up. You too, sis. You too. I thought she was walking up. Okay. Anyone else? You just want to be included in this tonight? Let's pray with these right here. I want all five of you guys to pray this and mean it with all your heart. Pray this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me a passion for the things of God and a boldness to share the gospel in Jesus' name. Tonight I'm saved and born again because Jesus is in my heart. Amen. 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 Come on, give them all a big hand. You can be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. There's some people here tonight that you have a lot of knee pain. God wants to heal you first, okay? And then we're going to play that video in a second. But you have a lot of knee pain. It's like your knees click and they catch and it's very inflamed. Who is that tonight? I want to say it's at least 2-3 people. Yeah, come on down here, all three of you. Yeah, come on up. Hearing as well. Someone in your hearing, like a tinnitus or deafness, hearing problems, whatever it might be. I want you to come as well. You have hearing issues. Come on over here you gotta be with the knee people. You can't be with the hearing people. All right. Well, you got both. I don't know what we're going to do. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Amen. I'm just teasing you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, I don't normally do this. So now listen, I promise you, every night we're going to pray for those that the Holy Spirit is highlighting for that night, okay? But I want to ask this tonight. Is there anyone tonight you have physical pain right now? You're in pain in your body right now. You have pain? Yeah, come on up. Okay, come on up. That's all right. You guys are friends. Come on up. Hallelujah. And then we're just going to let the music play, and then whenever you got to go, you be released after we pray for these. But listen, don't get in a big hurry tonight. If you can, just stay and soak in God's presence tonight, all right? But we're going to pray for these, and then we're going to go ahead and just, if you, those of you who are in your seats and stuff, if you want to just stay and soak in the presence of God, this is one of my best friends in the world. He's a worship leader in Florida. And I want you just to fill the house with the worship. Just go ahead, play it, repeat the same song again and again, all right? Just go for it. Turn it way up. So all of you up here right now, I just right now pray a general prayer right now. I speak healing to your bodies. The moment we touch you, God, we thank you for healing your people tonight.
I am thirsty.
Thank you, Lord, for touching your people. Just turn it up. Just fill the house.